morning. It's, you know, it's tough to get up here in front of you people. You're a scary bunch most Sunday mornings. You know, especially for a young person to come up here and do that. You know, it's great to see their willingness to do that. Well, I say their willingness. I know sometimes my kids aren't always excited, but Tammy gets them excited to get up here and do that and be a part of that. And I'm going to be in Luke chapter 2 is where I'm going to be at this morning. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or turn your Bibles on, it'll be on the screen too. But as Nick said, I'm going to, you know, I typically preach the Sunday after Christmas, but I don't ever remember preaching this close to Christmas. So this is kind of different for me because, you know, usually you can preach, you know, a New Year's sermon or something like that, but we're going to go through the Christmas story, and maybe this is a story that this past week we've heard quite a bit, and hopefully maybe you've read through with your family. I know with our family on Christmas morning, that's kind of our tradition. We started with our kids a long time ago is, you know, before we open presents, we get the Bible out and we read the Christmas story, and now it's just, it's one of those things, they know it's going to happen, and they're ready for that, and hopefully we realize what this story truly means to us. And what I want to focus on more this morning too is the shepherds. You know, the shepherds are in this story, and sometimes I think we skip over them. I don't think we realize why they're there. I think sometimes we don't think about, you know, what is their purpose. They're really not talked about in any other part of the gospel other than in Luke, as far as when we talk about the birth of Jesus. And we really don't see any other description of that night that Jesus was born other than here in Luke in chapter 2. So I'm going to start in verse 1. I'll read through verse 20. So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the inn. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported this message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Dear Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time of year, Lord, that we celebrate your birth of your Son, and Lord, that you sent him to us in the form of a baby. But Lord, the greatest celebration is that he grew into a man, that he walked this earth, that he struggled through the things that we struggle through, but he was perfect in all of that. And Lord, ultimately, he went to that cross to die for each and every one of us. Lord, that the sins that we struggle with, the sins that we give into, Lord, he took that as upon himself when he went on that cross. And Lord, as we look through this passage this morning, that we see that, Lord, that the real purpose of your Son was to come and die on that cross. And you did that for us, that we might have that chance to have a Savior, to be reconciled to you. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you so much for Jesus' willingness to be obedient to you and follow you and trust in you. And Lord, we just pray all these things in his name. Amen. So like I said, we hear the story, you know, there again, it might be one of those things we just kind of glaze over this time of year because it's Christmas. And we hear the Christmas story and we know that Jesus came and you know, we wonder why he would be born in a manger, but he was. That was part of God's plan. But here are the shepherds, and you know, like I said, the shepherds really aren't talked about anywhere else but here in Luke. But why are they part of the story? You know, some people might say, well, they were just close, you know, because they were out in the fields and they were close by, or you know, God talks about, you know, different shepherds throughout the Bible. You know, Jesus himself, you know, even talked about being the good shepherd. But really, there's a different point here, and we have to understand the culture. We have to understand what these people in those days and times meant. You know, it wasn't a glamorous job to be a shepherd. Really, it was the low of the low. It was the worst job to have. These were people that didn't really, you know, go to their guidance counselor in high school and say, you know, I want to be a shepherd when I grow up. You know, these were people that fell into this job because they had no other choice. They had done things in their past. They had done things that they probably didn't talk about or people didn't ask them about. And this was their only option. That was the reason they stayed out in the fields. That was the reason they stayed away from people, because people didn't want anything to do with them. It was against the law to buy stuff from shepherds, because it was just kind of a given that it was probably stolen, more than likely. They were thieves. They had done things that just didn't make them good people. They were the low of the low. But here they are, the first people to hear this birth announcement of our King, our Savior, our Messiah. Why would God tell these people first? Why were they more important than anybody else? You know, for us who have had kids or even graduations, we don't go tell, you know, the low of the low. We go tell our family. We go tell the important people of this good news. But here, God sends his angels to the shepherds and says, here you are. Today, a Savior is born to you. So my first point is that God, Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save me and you. We're all sinners. We have to understand that first off when we read the story, when we read the Christmas story. It's not about a baby in a manger. It's about God sending his Son to save sinners. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Not a single one of us can have lived a perfect life. We needed a Savior. And we see that when God sends his angels to the shepherds, and they're the first ones to know about that. They were afraid. It says here, you know, here's this angel right in front of them, and they're terrified, which we all would be. You know, an angel kind of shows up, and it's dark, and all of a sudden an angel is standing in front of us, and we're scared. But they don't know what to do. He says, don't be afraid. It'll be all right. You know, these were people that had lived their life running from what they had done. And sometimes with our lives and sometimes with our sin, we run from it. And that's the wrong thing to do. You know, we don't want to run away from those things. We just don't want to deal with them. But God, here with this story, he's saying, no, come and realize there's a better way to deal with this. There's good news. As the angels told the shepherds, there's good news of great joy that will be for all people. It's not just the religious leaders. It wasn't just the people, the wealthy of the day. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. And it's the same today. It's not just for a select few. It's not for the ones that show up on Sunday morning every week. It's not for the ones that show up on Wednesday nights. It's not for the ones that think they live a perfect life. It's for everyone. This is good news for everyone. Verse 11, today a Savior, who is Messiah, the Anointed One, that's what the Messiah, that the translation or the definition of Messiah is, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. Born for you. You know, you think about our lives and maybe the times that we were kind of living in our own sin and we didn't know how to handle it. And if somebody came to us and said, here's a way out, reached out their hand and said, here, we want to help you. That's what these angels are doing for these shepherds at this point. You know, people didn't talk to shepherds. You know, they didn't go to town a whole lot, and when they did, people didn't mess with them. You know, they didn't talk to them because, for one, they probably stunk really bad. You know, they lived in caves. They lived out in the field. They lived with sheep. I mean, the only person I know that have sheep are very few, but, you know, I don't want anything to do with them. They smell worse than dairy cows, right? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of dairy cows and pigs. Okay, but, you know, that smell just kind of stays with you. You know, if you've been on a farm and lived with those, so people didn't do that. But here's those angels coming to them and saying, we have this great news for you. But God sent his son to save saviors. The second point here is God wants to reconcile each and every one of us to him. We have this opportunity with this Savior. You know, the Garden of Eden, we go all the way back to there, to that first sin. Everything was perfect. And then Adam and Eve made that decision, and sin came into the world. And ever since then, they were looking for a Savior. They were looking to get back to being that close to God. And there's only one way to do that, and that's through Jesus Christ. So this will be, you know, this is the Savior that you've been waiting for. This is the Messiah that your religious leaders teach you about and talk about. This is the one that you've been waiting for. Now, they had kind of a different idea. You know, we have the advantage of having the Bible and being able to know the whole story and look back at it. They didn't. You know, at those times, they knew they were waiting for the Messiah, but they were looking at it as a different way and thinking, this is going to be a great leader, and it's going to take us out of this bondage of the Roman Empire and take us out of all this stuff. But ultimately, he was coming to bring us back to God. We could have that close relationship to God once again, but we had to first admit that we're sinners. Second, that we need a Savior. Those are the first two steps. And it says it right here. Verse 12, this will be the sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest in heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. And they talk about peace here in verse 14, but this is not a peace where, you know, there'll never be any fighting again. There'll never be any wars again. This is a peace between us and God. When we're reconciled to God, when we admit that we're a sinner, when we, you know, turn to him and ask for that forgiveness, we have a peace. Will we sin again? Yeah, we're human. It's kind of part of the deal, but we have a peace knowing that God loves us enough that he sent his only son to die on that cross for us. It's just the beginning of the good news when we talk about the Christmas story. It's the beginning of the good news. It only gets better from here. Too many times we think, this is as good as it gets, this baby in the manger. When we're wrong, the best is yet to come. But this peace is something that we're all looking for. And even in today's time, especially, we just want peace. Peace from work, peace from family, peace from struggles. But it only comes when we're right with God. And we have to have that person that was willing to take our place. And Christ did that. So we have to admit that we're sinners. We have to reconcile for ourselves. And then next, we have to have faith in it. I mean, the shepherds could have said, you know, in verse 15 it says, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They said, let's go straight to Bethlehem. They said, no, they didn't say, well, you know, let's wait till in the morning when it's light and we can see. It's a little easier to travel. Let's a couple of us stay here and a couple of us go. We'll make sure that it's true. No, they believed right then and there. They went straight to Bethlehem. They went to find that baby that was in a manger. They had, you know, we might say, well, yes, it's easy to believe when you see angels in front of you and they're telling you that here is your Savior that you've been waiting for, is born and is in Bethlehem waiting for you. That's easy. We have the story right in front of us. We have the opportunity to read it whenever we want. But how often does our faith stumble because we don't truly understand the story? We just gloss over it and we think, well, that was nice. You know, those were nice shepherds. You know, that was great that they were able to get the news first. Here, they said, we're going to go straight to them. They hurried, in verse 16, they said they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph. You know, I'm sure it probably wasn't difficult to find a newborn baby in a manger in that day and time. I'm sure there probably wasn't multiple babies that had been born in a manger that evening. I'm guessing there. It doesn't tell us in the Bible, but, you know, I'm sure they didn't have to look very hard. But they hurried off to find it. They were excited. They heard this news. They knew something was going to change. They knew their lives had changed from this point. They knew that they couldn't stay the same. They couldn't stay in that field. They couldn't stay those people that they were before. And we should be the same way. When we hear this story on Christmas, it should change our lives. And yes, sometimes we become Scrooges. And I admit, I'm one of them. Nick is the exact opposite. I think he's been singing Christmas carols since February, right? Yeah? I just do not sing Christmas carols until the 24th. And, yeah, well, and I voted to take the Christmas tree down yesterday after we opened presents. I got outvoted. But, no, I'm not that bad. But, you know, it sometimes we just get caught up in all the other stuff and we miss the point that here is our Savior. Here we should be changed when we hear the story. This should be something that affects us on a daily basis. Yes, it's a Christmas story, but this is something that we should look at every day, all year long. Because it's not the end. This is just the beginning. The best is yet to come. But they hurried off. They knew they were going to be changed. Just like us this morning. You're going to have a chance here in a little bit. We're going to have the Lord's Supper, and the way we do it here is we do this with part of our invitation. And you're going to have a chance to respond. You know, for some of our guests, it might be a little different, but, you know, for our regular attenders, you know how this will work. And, you know, we're going to ask you to stand up and come forward and get the bread and the juice and go back to your seats. That's only part of it. You know, you're making that action to walk forward, but you'll have a chance to respond. From here on out, you have no more excuse of not knowing why the baby Jesus was born. From here on out, you will not have an excuse to say, you know, when you meet God, you know, when you leave this world and you say, well, I never heard the gospel. You don't have that excuse anymore. None of us have that excuse anymore. But we have to respond to it. Either we accept it, and we believe, we admit, we believe, we want to make changes in our lives. Or we just walk by and ignore it. And we can only do that so many times. You know, we can walk by it and we might feel it down deep inside. And, you know, we hear those stories of people on Sunday mornings and gripping the back of the pew and just white knuckling it and just getting by. We might have those feelings this morning. You need to ask questions. You need to, you know, I'll be on one side and Scott will be on the other side, or Nick will be on one side and Scott will be up here too. There'll be others here that will pray with you, but you need to ask questions because you don't have any more excuse that you don't know, that you don't understand. And if you don't fully understand, ask questions. Don't leave here today wondering, what if? Wondering, you know, is this true? Because it is true, for one. You know, this is God's word. He gave this to us so that we know that it's true. But also, lastly, for us that have, you know, turned from our sins and we try to follow Christ in our daily lives and try to live our lives to honor God, we have to go and tell others. What the shepherds did. What did it say? It said, you know, and all who heard the verse 17, after seeing them, after seeing Joseph and Mary and the baby, they reported the message they were told about the child. Now here again, here's these crazy shepherds running through town talking about this baby that was born. They were confessing the birth of our Savior, the birth of the Messiah. And those who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. You know, sometimes we talk about Christ and we talk about the gospel to other people, and sometimes they're amazed, and sometimes they brush us off. Sometimes they don't want to listen to it. That's on them. But we have to go and confess who this baby was, who this baby is going to be. But Mary was treasuring all these things in her heart. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Their lives were different from this point on. Your life can be different from this point on, either good or bad. It's a choice we have to make. Well, our lives can be like the shepherds, and we can go and leave this place glorifying and praising God because our Savior was born. Our Savior that was born in flesh and just a little child, but He grew to be a man that took our sins upon Himself and died on a cross because we couldn't do it for ourselves. We can't buy our way, we can't work our way, we can't earn our way to salvation. We had to have faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. But that's why He was here. That's why He came. That's why we read this story. That's why we read this book. That's why we live our lives. Because He died for us. Is that your decision this morning to come and start that? And you know, the book never talks about either the shepherds, you know, they went and took showers and then they went and put their best on and then they went and found the baby. No, they didn't come cleaned up. They came the way they were. It's the way God wants us. We all have messy lives. We all have things in our lives that we're struggling with and we don't know how to understand how to deal with them. But God does. God just wants you the way you are right now. He wants to change you. He wants to clean you up. He wants to make you a new person. He doesn't want you to work on that. He wants to work on that. So there again, you have that choice. You have no more excuses. You have to respond this morning one way or the other. And Nick will explain the Lord's Supper here in a minute, and Scott will lead us through that. And if you feel God calling you this morning, stop and ask for prayer. Stop and ask questions. Be like these shepherds. Be changed. Leave this place glorifying and praising God because of your Savior that was born in that manger, who ultimately went to the cross for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for these verses, and we thank You for the story. Lord, we can't thank You enough that You saw the need for a Savior, that You saw a need for to send Your Son, to die on a cross to save us. We don't understand it. We can't totally, you know, reconcile it in our human minds. But Lord, we believe that You are in control and that You had it all figured out. And Lord, that we are sinners, every single one of us. There's not one of us that are perfect, just Your Son. And we need someone to save us. We need a rescuer. And Lord, we just pray that if there is someone here this morning that has questions, or Lord, that You're working on their hearts, Lord, that they would just turn their lives over to You this morning. Lord, don't let them have that doubt. Well, you know, when I get things straightened out, I'll come to God. No, let it be today. Let it be now. Lord, because we all need You. We all need You every moment of every day. And Lord, You've made this path where we can be reconciled to You, that we can have this close relationship with You. And Lord, we just Thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you so much for this time of year. But Lord, we just thank you for every single day that you've given us. And Lord, we just pray that as we leave this place, that we're just like those shepherds, that we leave praising and glorifying you for what you've done. And Lord, we just pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.